Hey, happy birthday, Joel. It's hard to believe I have a 50-year-old son. What happened? Anyways, good morning, everyone. I was glad to see you here. I was wondering if anybody was going to be here this morning, but I'm surprised. And of course, there's probably more people watching online this morning. So good morning to you as well. You know, we're doing a series right now on migration, where we're moving from one part of our life to another part of our life, where we're moving in different ways. And Jason Bandura started off our series by telling us what migration was, and he gave his definitions. And I looked up a couple of definitions as well. I can't remember whether this was Jason's or whether I just got my own, but the definitions I looked up go like this: is a seasonal movement of animals from one region to another, or it's the movement of a person or people from one country, locality, place of residence to settle in another. As people, the migrations happen with people as well. And we tend to move to a place where we can experience more abundance, where we can experience more blessing. And so we'll tend to move in that direction. You know, Claire spoke to us about moving from fear to faith. And last week, Joel talked to us about moving from the pit to a rock. And today I want to talk to you about moving from the coop to the clouds, or from a chicken to an eagle. And so we're going to talk about chickens this morning, and we're going to talk about eagles this morning. And you can decide, are you a chicken or are you an eagle? Who are you? Who is God? And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to weave a bit of my story in here with you as well this morning. So, Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us. We exalt you this morning, and we just ask for your grace and your blessing and your anointing today. I pray you speak to every one of our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my first encounter with God, I didn't believe in God. As many of you know my testimony, I didn't believe in the Lord. And I had no church background, and I grew up in an atheistic home. And so one day at university, I had my first encounter with the living God. And I simply went to the cafeteria for a cup of coffee, and I ran into him. And what he basically said to me was that my life had no purpose and my life had no point. It didn't matter how much education I got. It didn't matter what kind of job I had. It didn't matter whether I fulfilled all the materialistic dreams that Linda and I had. I was terminal. He pointed that out to me. Dave, you're terminal. You're not going to be on the planet long. And so you can have all your dreams and have all your goals, but so what? You're going to die. And then what? Well, that shook me. That shook me to the core. I'm not a Christian. I wasn't a Christian after that encounter either. I didn't have any idea what being a Christian was. But I was shook because I knew I had encountered a supernatural being. So I got in the car, and it took a brief, maybe even an hour later, I had my second encounter. My second encounter was I walked into our apartment, and Linda was doing something she had never done before. She was watching a famous evangelist on television. And I ended up listening to him as well, against my will, kind of, but I did listen to him. And I discovered that it got worse, that not only was I terminal, but my second encounter with God was he showed me, you're going to hell. You're not just terminal, you're going to hell, Dave. Well, that shook me. In fact, I got, for the next 3 days, I kept hearing that message over and over again. So my third encounter was the day a pastor came to my house and visited me at my invitation and shared the gospel with me, explained the gospel to me in a way that I could understand. And I got born again. I received Jesus as my personal Savior and my Lord. And whoa, I was full of joy. I was full of peace. I was full of joy. And I was on my way. And so after that, I realized my sins are forgiven. I have eternal life. Linda then and I moved shortly thereafter, moved back to Manitoba from Ontario, and I got a good job, and we had two kids, and we got to found ourselves a church. Life was good. I mean, we're happy. We're living the dream. And we're learning how to be Christians. We joined the chicken coop. We found a nice coop, and we're learning how to be chickens. And my language changed. I'm beginning to cluck like the other chickens, cluck, cluck, cluck. And I found out that I had these appendages, and I would flap these things and say, I never had these before, but I have them now. And so Linda and I are pretty happy. We're in the chicken coop, and we're scratching along with the other chickens, and we're pecking a little bit here and there, and we're finding out how to do this. But then a little bit of time went by, and we weren't satisfied. Something began to stir in us. You know, the thing about migration, whether it be birds or animals, the thing that's so fascinating about migration is how do they do it? Some of these birds fly for thousands of miles every year, and they go to the exact same spot. And how do they do that? How do they find their way? You know, scientists have tried to figure that out, and maybe they figured out a few things, but there's still it's still a mystery. Whether it be fish in the sea, or whether it be birds in the air, or certain animal species that migrate, there's something within them. There's an instinct. There's something wired within them that causes them to want to move. And I want to tell you that as Christians, as believers, there's something inside of you that keeps telling you, you need to move. You need to move. There's something just stirs up. So after Linda and I had been Christians for a couple of years, we started feeling stirred. There's got to be more than this. We want to live our best life. Linda and I, we would talk and we would say, we want to live our best life. We only get to go around one time. What's our best life? And we weren't satisfied. We felt like there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And so one of the things that, and then we started reading our Bibles, and one of the things that we came across was the Holy Spirit. And the church that we were attending at that time, they didn't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. They would talk about the Father, they would talk about the Son, but they would not talk about the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what to do with Him. They were afraid of Him. And you just didn't, even they might mention it once in a while, but you never studied it, you never went there, you never discussed it. But I kept reading my Bible. I'd read the book of Acts, and I'd read the epistles, and I think, whoa, these Christians in that first century, man, they were into the Holy Spirit. And they were into the gifts of the Spirit, and their people were being healed, and people were being delivered, and thousands were getting saved, and amazing things, miracles and signs and wonders were taking place. And so then I would bring this up to my fellow chickens in the coop. And they would cackle and flap their little wings and say, no, that doesn't happen anymore. That passed away in the first century. It doesn't happen now. We got the Bible. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We got the Bible. And so at first I thought, oh, well, okay, that's too bad. I wish I'd been living back in the first century, minus the persecution, of course. But if I could have been back in the first century, that would have been living. But I wasn't convinced. Linda and I were not convinced. And so we kept digging around, and we got hungry for the Spirit, supernatural life. And as the more I read, the more we studied the Bible and read other books, we thought, you know what? We're not destined for the coop. We're destined for the clouds. We have a hunger for the clouds. We don't want to be bound in the chicken coop. We want to fly. Amen? We don't want to be just scratching in the dirt, eyes on the ground, picking up bugs. We don't want to be just doing this. We want to fly. Amen? We want to fly. We want to get higher. We want to get closer. We want to get closer to the Lord. And so as we studied the word, we found out that one of the birds that God most associates with is the eagle. And God refers to himself as an eagle. And we started digging into it and thought, well, there's a lot of things we could learn about the eagle. And there's a big difference between an eagle and a chicken. Would you agree? I mean, they both have wings. They got some similarities. They both have beaks. But there's a difference between an eagle and a chicken. And so God describes himself like an eagle. But not only does God describe himself like an eagle, But he wants us to be eagles too. Because God wants us to be like him. He wants us to be conformed to his image. And just as God flies in the heavens, he wants you and I to fly in the heavens. He wants there to be a migration from the coop to the clouds. And so we started looking at that. And the Bible talks about God making us kings and priests under God. Did you know that this morning? That God looks at you, you are a king. You are a priest unto him. And we're not to be spending the rest of our life scratching in the dirt, never leaving the chicken coop. And so God has called us to be master of our passions, master over sin, master over the enemy, flying high above all these things. That's your calling. That's your destiny. And as Linda and I began to understand this more and more, we thought we got hungrier and hungrier and thirsty for the presence of God and for the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be an eagle. You know, Miles Monroe, I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but he's a conference speaker. He actually, unfortunately, passed away a while back in a plane crash. But he said some very interesting things, and he's a very good speaker. And, you know, he talked about he raised a question one time, and he said, what is the wealthiest place in the world? What's the wealthiest place in the world? I could look at that and think, well, what's the wealthiest place in Canada? What's the wealthiest place in Regina? Where is that place? What is the wealthiest city? Is it New York? Is it Hong Kong? Is it Singapore? Is it Regina? Where's the wealthiest place? Then he answered the question. He said, you know what the wealthiest place in the world is? It's the cemetery. The wealthiest place in the world is the cemetery. See, well, what do you mean? Well, because there's incredible resources buried in the cemetery. There are dreams and visions that are buried in the cemetery. There are books that were never written buried in the cemetery. I don't want to go there. I want to change that subject. There are visions that never became a reality. They're buried in the cemetery. There are paintings that were never painted because they're buried in the cemetery. There are songs that were never sung because they're buried in the cemetery. There are some great men and women God were called to be great men and women who are buried in the cemetery. You know what my greatest dream is? That you would not be buried in the cemetery. Amen. That you would not add to the wealth of the cemetery. That you would fulfill. You would live your call. Amen. You would live your call. Everything that God has put within you, you would realize. The dreams and the visions and the talent and the abilities that are in you as eagle Christians would come out. That you would not spend your life scratching in the dirt with your eyes focused on the ground, picking up bugs, making clucking sounds, little flapping sounds, pecking at your neighbors. You wouldn't be doing that. But you would rather be flying and fulfilling and realizing the dreams and the gifting and the abilities that are in you. That you would actually be eagles. Eagle Christians. Not chickens, but eagles. A lot of people don't think, well, my dream could never come to pass. Those things could never happen in my life. Yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. You know, Miles Monroe went on and said this. He said, the poorest man in the world is a man without a dream. And the most frustrated man in the world is a man or a woman with a dream that doesn't become reality. Those are the chickens that he's talking about. But I believe that you're different. I believe we have eagles in this house. Amen. Amen. I believe there's a stirring in you. And my goal this morning is to simply pour some gas on your fire. I believe there's a stirring in you. Some of you have allowed some of those fires to grow a bit cold and are a bit dampened down. But I want to tell you, it's time to stir that up again. It's time to stir yourself up again. Say, I am not satisfied with where I am in my Christian life right now. I am in the coop and I need to get out of the coop. I need to get out of there and I need to begin to stretch out my wings and I begin to need to fly. You know, there are a few few principles that I could talk to you about eagles. In fact, there's a lot of them, and I don't have time this morning to talk to you about all of them, but I'm going to talk to you about four. There's probably about 15 that I could talk to you about. But there's four that distinguishes an eagle from any other bird, that distinguishes an eagle from a chicken. And the first thing about eagles is they fly alone. They fly alone. They're lonely birds, actually, in some ways. And you know, let me say this to you, that when you start to fulfill the dreams, some of the dreams that God has put in your heart, when God begins to stir you and you begin to act out on that and you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your life, you will find that there are certain people that will not walk with you anymore. It gets to be lonely. You know, because there are people that don't want to fly where you want to fly. And chickens, they believe in conformity. Chickens like everybody else to be exactly like them. Cluck, cluck, cluck. I want everybody to be like me. You know, Linda and I, one time when we lived on an acreage, we decided, along with a few other families, that we would go together and we would raise chickens. Maybe you didn't know about Linda and I, but we used to be chicken farmers. So we know a little bit about chickens. And so Joel loved it. He remembers it because he liked it when it came time to harvest the chickens, when we chopped off the heads. He liked that part. And he didn't want to miss that. And so we decided to raise chickens. Well, we didn't really know what we were biting off. But we built a coop and we bought a bunch of these chicks, and they looked so cute, nice and yellow and fluffy. And we had them all there, and there we had, you know, the heat lamps, and we had all this stuff. We were all set to go. We didn't know anything about raising chickens, but we were going to learn. So here we go. And so what we realized after a while, these chickens looked exactly identical. They looked exactly the same. But every once in a while, these chicks would actually turn and start, they'd peck at each other. But then if there was something about a chick that seemed to be a little different, and I couldn't tell the difference, but they could tell, they would pick on it. They would peck it. And if they ever drew a drop of blood, the whole thing, they would all go after it. And it wouldn't be long. If you didn't get that chick out of there, they would peck it to death. That chick would not last long. You know, unfortunately, I've seen that. Not just in chicken coops. But I've seen it in the body of Christ sometimes. Where we can just, you know, you're not exactly like me, so I'm just going to peck you. I'm going to pick at you and pick at you. And if I can draw a little bit of blood, then the others say, oh yeah, I see that too. And let's just peck a little bit more. And before you're all done, you have a dead chicken in the coop. Because chickens like conformity. You want everybody exactly the same. I want everybody to think exactly like me. And it can't be any difference. That's not what God has in mind. And so when Linda and I got saved, we found out that we gained some friends, of course, but we lost some. I lost all my friends at university because I wasn't flying with them anymore. My family and Linda's family weren't too excited when Linda and I became chickens. We did become chickens. We became chickens. And they weren't too excited about that. And so they did not approve. My dad especially did not approve me becoming a believer. Actually, he blamed Linda for that. He said, that's her fault. That's her influence on you, Dave. She made you religious. You got religion. He didn't like that. And then when Linda and I decided to launch out and quit my job and go start planting churches and starting Christian schools, they really reacted. My family reacted. Linda's family reacted. Linda's dad sent her a very painful letter that she read, and Linda had always been close to her father, and she wept over that letter. And our parents, both Linda's parents and my parents, were so mad at us, they didn't talk to us for a year. They basically just cut us off. Now, we weren't too worried because we had an ace in the hole. That ace was we had two kids. We had Tracy and Joel, and we knew that somewhere along the line they'd be wanting to see their grandkids. So we knew that we would be able to reel them back in. Amen? We were pretty confident about that. But the point is, it did create a wedge. And they weren't as comfortable around us as they were before, because we were saved. Not only that, is that we found as we began to The more we began to fly, and the higher we flew, the more we left behind others that didn't want to fly that high. They just didn't want to go there. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Now, when you fly, you'll meet other birds. The good news is when I fly high and I'm soaring and flying on thermals, high in the sky, in the clouds, I do meet the odd bird up there. But it isn't a chicken. Amen? There's no chickens up there. I'll meet some other eagles once in a while. But not a lot. Second thing about eagles is that eagles possess vision. They're incredible birds. They have incredible eyesight. An eagle can spot a rat or a rabbit 5 kilometers away. And when it sees it, it never loses its focus on that rat or that rabbit or a fish in a river or in a lake. When they see it, they are focused, they are aware, they are aware of their peripheral vision, they're definitely aware of that, but they have a focus, they have a unique eyesight that once they fasten on, they don't lose sight of that. And they go for it. And as eagles, we are to be focused. And there may be some of us here this morning, you've lost your focus. You've lost your focus. You've got your eyes on the ground. You stopped flying as an eagle, and you went back to the coop, and you found yourself scratching in the dirt and flapping your stubby wings and pecking at others. And I want to say, don't allow things that come into your life, problems, issues, to distract you from what God is saying to you. The third thing about an eagle is an eagle has to learn how to fly. A male and a female eagle will mate for life. And when they build a nest, what's interesting is that they'll keep coming back to that nest year after year after year. They can spend 3 months building that nest. And they get twigs and they get branches and they build their nest in a high place. Either on the side of a cliff somewhere or in a high tree, depending on what part of the world the eagles are living in. In the Middle East, eagles pretty much always were building their nests high up on the side of a cliff, maybe on a little wee ledge. When it come time for that eagle to fly, it was an interesting scenario. Because when these eagles build their nests, they build them with twigs and branches, and they'll also include some thorns that they'll include in the nest. So if they can find them, they'll put some thorns in there as well. And then they get grass and moss, whatever's available, there's soft padding over those branches and over those thorns and feathers, and they make a nice, warm, soft nest. And then they lay their eggs, the female lays the eggs, and both parents will actually get involved in hatching those eggs, the mother more than the male eagle, but the male eagle will then feed the mother as she sits on the eggs. And of course, these eggs will hatch. Sometimes there's one egg, sometimes there's a couple. Many times when these eaglets are hatched, the first one, the biggest one, the first one that comes out of the egg will oftentimes kill the younger one. And the male and mom and dad they let it happen. So many times there's usually just one eaglet when it comes time to fly. And the book of Deuteronomy actually describes what happens when it comes time to fly. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, and of course Moses wrote that. And Deuteronomy's Moses' last words before he died. And in verse 11, 10 and 11, he's talking about Israel, but he's talking about it in terms of an eagle. And he says, in a desert land, he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. What is being described here? What is being described is when it comes time for an eaglet to fly, he doesn't want to fly. The nest is too nice. It's too warm. It's too comfortable. And mom and dad come and feed me all the time. And so I like it. It's warm. It's soft. The food's good. I'll just walk around the nest and flap my wings and make some little noises, clucking sounds, and I'm being fed and it's warm and I have no intention of getting out of that nest. And so when it talks about the eagle coming and stirring up the nest, he's describing an eagle tearing up the nest, throwing over the side of the nest the feathers and the moss and the grass and exposing the twigs and the thorns that are in the nest. And now they're poking and sticking in this eaglet, and he's not too happy about that. He doesn't want to leave the comfortable, warm nest. And not only that, he's afraid of heights, and he doesn't want to fly. He's afraid. So mom helps him. Not only does she rip up the nest, and of course the little eagle thinks that mom has lost her mind. Like, what's going on here? You're tearing this up. What's going on? I don't understand. And then it gets worse. She pushes him out of the nest, and then it gets even worse. She kicks him off the cliff, and away he goes. He's falling like a stone. And he's flapping around, and he's falling, and she's hovering above him. She's following him down. And then at a certain point, she swoops down, gets underneath, catches him on her back, rises up into the heavenlies, and he's saying, whoa, thank God she rescued me back to the nest. No, she flips over, and he goes through the whole thing over and over and over again. Until he finally figures out, you know what, something's going on here. Mom's trying to teach me something. You know, I wonder what these things are for, you know, and at some point, he finally stretches them out and catches. An amazing thing happens. Catches the breeze, and away he goes. That's the way that God teaches you and me to fly. Because you see, we're a lot like those little eaglets. We get saved. We get born again. You know, we get into a nice church. We learn to cluck. We learn to scratch. We flap these little wings. We even fly a little bit. We can fly a couple hundred feet. Maybe we can get as high as a fence post. Sit on a fence post. Cluck for a while up there. Hey, this is not bad. Food's good. Warm at night. Hey, I have no intention of leaving the coop. I have no intention of doing that. So we need a little help. Amen. And so Linda and I, we're hungry, we're thirsty for the Lord, and we want to fly. Say, God, we know there's more to the Christian life than what we're presently experiencing. There's got to be more than this. And, you know, what about the Holy Spirit? And what about this? And so one night, you know, we're studying the Word, and I was struggling with whether the Holy Spirit was even for today. So one morning I went to church, and Joel was teething, so he was sick. So Linda stayed home with him, and I went to church one morning, and during one of the hymns, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I ended up speaking in tongues. I started flying. I was flying in the middle of this service. I don't even know what happened. I was gone. I was just soaring. I came home. I walked into our house, and Linda looked at me, and before I could say a word, she says, "What happened to you? Something happened to you." And then she said, "You look different. Your beak is a little longer. Your beak's got this hook in it now. It didn't have that hook the way it had before. Something happened to you. You look more like an eagle than a chicken this morning. What happened to you?" Then she said, "Did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit?" I said, I think so. I think I did. She said, "Did you speak in tongues?" I said, "Yeah, I think I did that too." She said, "Well, I want to hear it. Let me hear it." I thought, man, I don't even know if I can do this again. I'm self-conscious about this. I don't know if I can do it. And so finally we got down and said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's what we can do. Let's just go in the living room and get down on our knees and let's start praying. And if I can, I will." And so we got down on our knees, and sure enough, I could still do it. And away we went. Well, a few months later, Linda got filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit too. So we were starting to fly. Amen. And so then we wanted more. We wanted to fly higher. And so one night, as Linda and I were praying before we went to bed one night, we were praying, and I had a vision. I'd never had one before, It was a full, the room just kind of disappeared, and I saw, and she, Linda was, the room just was gone, and I was kind of standing suspended, and I saw this man, a half a man from the waist down, and he had three millstones on one leg, and he was walking across my field of vision like this, dragging his leg. And as this man was doing it, I knew it was me. I knew I was seeing myself, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "That is your walk in Christ." And I got angry, and I said, "What are you talking about? How can that be my walk in Christ, Lord? You know how hungry I am for you and how passionate I am for you. How can that be my walk in Christ?" And so then the vision ended. He didn't answer my question. Imagine that. Didn't answer me. And the vision ended, and so Linda was still praying, and so I stopped her. "Whoa, whoa, Linda, stop, stop, stop. Something happened here." And so I shared with her the vision. I'd never had anything like that happen to me before. And so I said, "I don't know what those millstones are, but obviously I got to get them off because they're, whatever they are, they're hindering me." So so Linda said, "Got a brilliant idea. Why don't we ask the Lord if he'll tell us?" So we began to pray, and the Lord showed Linda what they were. And the three millstones were, number one, the youth ministry that we were in, that we were enjoying. And the second one was the church that we were a part of. I was a teaching elder in that church and preaching most Sundays, and it was the church. And the third thing was my job, which I loved my job. I had a good job. They were the three of the best things in my life. And God said, "Those things have got to go. You want to fly higher? Those things have got to go." Well, the first one to go was the youth ministry. One night, I never told the youth that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit because we lived in a very conservative Christian community, and you didn't want to tell that too loud. So I was kind of hiding the fact that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Of course, a few inner circle friends knew, but I wasn't broadcasting it, and I certainly wasn't telling the youth because I knew that if they ever got wind of the fact that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evangelical community that we lived in would come down on me, and it would cause such a controversy and such an uproar among the youth and among the parents. It would be just dust flying everywhere. So I was hiding. But one night the Lord said, "You know what, Dave? It's time for you to get out of the nest. I'm going to help you get rid of that millstone." So one night at a Bible study, one of the young people asked me a question. "Hey, Dave, what's the charismatic movement? Could you tell us what the charismatic movement is?" And I said, I didn't want to go there. I said, "Well, you know, it's just kind of a revival. Some people call it that. Let's move on." And I just went around it. A few weeks later, I was in a car. I had a whole carload of young people in my car. We were coming home from a youth meeting. And young man in the back seat, leaned over the front seat, got his face about 2 inches from me, and he said this to me, "Hey, Dave, do you speak in tongues?" What am I going to do? I'm going to lie or I'm going to tell him the truth? If I tell him the truth, it's going to be an explosion. So I said, "Yeah, I do." Boom. There was an explosion. I mean, those kids, there was an uproar among the kids. Some wanted it, some didn't want it. The parents were mad. The pastors were mad. I got fired. I got removed from being in the youth ministry. Well, then we decided that we should plant a church. And people were saying, "Dave, plant a church, plant a church." Pastor said, "I'm not a pastor. I'm afraid. I don't know how to pastor. I don't want a pastor. I'm not equipped to pastor. I'm the wrong temperament for it. I'm the wrong personality. I wouldn't be a good pastor." And so one day, Linda and I were in the States, and this prophetess from Australia pulled us out and prophesied that we should go into the ministry. And a couple of weeks later, I was in Winnipeg, and it happened to me a second time, and I realized I have no choice. We started a church. Well, there, our old church. Boom. That millstone's gone. And then the Lord kept stirring us. Start a Christian school. Start a Christian school. I didn't want to start a Christian school. I had a good job. I was teaching school. If I started a Christian school, that would be the end of my job. So guess what? A few months later, we couldn't stand the pressure and the thorns and the pricks anymore. I quit my job. We started a Christian school. Boom. Third millstone gone. 10 years later, we got comfortable again. In Swan River, things were going well. We were comfortable. God said, "You know what? You're too comfortable. You want to go higher? Go to Regina." Boom. We're in Regina. We're in the midst of a storm. We're in the midst of a hurricane, but we're flying high, higher than we've ever been. Amen? And that was great. We did that for 23 years, and we got comfortable again. Man, it's great. It's comfortable. Church is doing good. Most of the fires are out. We're doing well. God says, you know what, Dave, you're too comfortable. Step down from being the local church. I want you to lead the LifeLinks Network. Boom, I didn't want to lead the LifeLinks Network. I was afraid to lead the LifeLinks Network. Too bad. Over the side you go. That's the way it works, church. You want to fly? You want to fly? You'll feel the pricks. You'll feel the thorns. But let me share one more thing, and I got to do this quickly as I'm out of time. Fourth thing about an eagle is they love storms. Most birds will run and hide when a storm comes. Eagles will fly towards storms. Why? Because the greatest wind currents, the greatest thermals are in a storm. And they want to fly as high and as far as they can. And so they'll go right for a storm. And so Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Chickens, they want to head through a storm. Chickens are hiding in the coop. But eagles, they're going for it. And so one of the interesting things about storms, of course, storms can be problems and troubles in our life, and we don't like trouble. We don't like controversy. We don't like problems. Do you? Do you guys like that stuff? No, we don't like that. We don't want to fly to storms. But you know, if you're an eagle, you'll fly for storms. You know, Paul's an amazing guy. Did he have trouble in his life? He had trouble. Amen? Paul said this one time. He said in 2 Corinthians, he said, the Lord always leads me in triumph. He always leads me in triumph. He didn't say he sometimes leads me in triumph. He always leads me in triumph. Right? Paul said, I triumph over every storm. Do we have an example of that? Yeah, remember the time that Paul and Silas were in Philippi and they got beaten with rods and thrown in the inner dungeon and were in chains in the innermost parts of the dungeon, Paul and Silas? What did they do down there? They had a choice. They had a couple of choices. They could say, well, we're in it now, Paul. Silas could have got mad at Paul. Where did you cast that demon out of that woman? Why did you do that, Paul? You turkey, you. Look what you've done to us. Now we're in chains. We're beaten and in chains. And he could have started pecking at Paul and scratching at the dirt. And they could have had their eyes on the ground and say, we're in this terrible dungeon and we're never getting out of here. But that's not what they did. They said, you know what? Time to fly. And they began to praise. And they began to worship. We know the story, right? They began to pray about midnight, worshiping, praising. They're flying. They're soaring on the currents. They're triumphing in the midst of adversity. And what happened? Well, then the power of God is released and the earthquake comes and the prison doors blow open and the chains fall off and they're free. Amen? How about David at Ziklag? Remember David? He's an eagle. And he's got his 30 mighty men. They're eagles. But one day they come to Ziklag and the Amalekites have come and they've captured their women and their children and they've taken all their stuff and they've run away and they've got all their stuff. And so David and his men weep and cry. And then what happens is, unfortunately, these eagles became chickens. They went back into the coop and they started cackling and flapping their little stubby elbows, and they began to peck at each other, and they said, you know, let's kill that David. It's his fault. Let's stone him. And what did David do? The Bible says, David says this. He says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself. And the Lord is God. You know what he did? He got alone. He began to worship. Began to praise. Began to stick his wings out. He caught the current. He began to fly higher and higher. And he got so high with his eagle vision, he looked down and says, I see those Amalekites. They're right there. And I see my kids and I see my wife. And we're going to go and get them. And when he came back into the camp, they looked at, whoa, something's happened to David. He doesn't look like a chicken. He looks like an eagle. And he's challenging, and he said, now we're going to go get those. We're going to go get our wife and kids back. And we're going to get our stuff back. And they not only did that, they got more than what they lost because they began to fly. And God says this. I like to call the worship team to come forward here because we're going to close in a song this morning. But in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Amen? Amen? That's what it means to be an eagle. You know, Linda and I, we're old now. Our feathers are old. She's not that far behind me. In fact, she's got a birthday here in a few days. She's catching up. But you know where my feathers aren't as good as they used to be? I can't fly as high. I can't fly as far as they used to fly. But I want to tell you, I'm still flying. You know, there's interesting scripture. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then you will judge my house, and you also shall keep my courts, and I will give you places to walk among those who stand by. I want to tell you, and I've been in ministry now for 50 years this year, counting my youth ministry days. It's 50 years. Joel's 50 years old. It's 50 years for Linda and I. We still have paths to walk on. God has always been faithful to us. He just continually gives us new paths to walk on. So even though we're not flying to some of these far off places the way we used to, and maybe we're more bound than we were, can't fly quite as high, we're still flying. And I intend to fly until one day I'm just going to fly above the clouds and be gone. Amen. You know, Enoch flew so high, he never came back. He got up there too high, he never came back. Elijah, he jumped into the whirlwind and flew so high, he just never came back. Amen? Listen to me, church, stand. You're eagles. Any eagles in this house? Are there any eagles here? Amen? Let's sing a song.
Oh.
I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you. Some of you are going through some difficult times. Some of you are looking for jobs. Some of you are looking for better jobs. Some of you have issues in your families. Some of you have issues in your marriages. Some of you maybe have health issues. It could be all kinds of issues. And you have a choice this morning. You can stretch out your wings and strengthen yourself in the Lord and begin to fly, because God will always lead you in triumph. Always will lead you in triumph over your enemies. Or you can give in to the pressures and the storms and go and hide. But then you will fail, and you will not attain to what God has for you. I want to challenge you this morning. God's saying to you this morning, it's time to fly. It's time to strengthen yourself in the Lord. It's time to encourage yourself. It's in time to get around some other eagles and help fly with them. Get around some eagles and fly with them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this church this morning. There's a lot of eagles in this room this morning. There's a lot of eagles that are watching us online this morning. And Lord, I just pray you'd strengthen and encourage them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that, Father, something would rise within them by the power of the Holy Spirit, that instinct to move, to migrate from the coop to the clouds would become so strong that, God, they no longer resist it. Lord, those who are afraid to fly, I pray you'd strengthen them and encourage them and help them to get off that cliff, to get out of that nest, and to begin to fulfill the calling and the dreams and the gifting that's within them. Lord, I just pray you'd strengthen them and encourage them this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.